complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. I direct your prayerful attention to the last verse of the chapter which we read this morning. First book of Samuel, chapter 22 and verse 23. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. This 23rd verse of the first book of Samuel, chapter 22. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. As we read through the Old Testament, we come from time to time, even in the historical accounts, particular verses that arise and have their application in the providential things of earthly life, but they have an application also to the things of eternal life. What we read of occurring bodily, what a type they are of that which occurs spiritually. And these verses, which we find, dear friends, may be concerning one or another who've lived in the days in which the accounts were written, they spiritually apply to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The whole of the scriptures, they're directed, aren't they, to teach of the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for the sacrifice for sins, to put away the power of sin, that one may have hope of eternal life at the end of one's earthly days. What an application this verse has to Jesus. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. Oh, dear friends, when we think of the sending forth of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, into this world. He came to deliver his people from the power of sin and death. He came to be a refuge for sinners. We have here, don't we, he that seeketh my life. Oh, when he came, how Satan sought to destroy that purpose for which he came. He was sorely tempted. Oh, before he was tempted, Satan, ruling in Herod, sought to slay the babe that was born of Mary. How often, when he went about his ministry, did the unbelieving Jews seek to kill him, stone him, even throw him from the cliff top which was at Nazareth? But, dear friends, nothing could take place to overturn the purpose of God in his Son. All power is with God. All power is given unto Jesus. And nothing could take place which could overturn why Christ came in the fullness of time to save sinners. But oh, that purpose of his coming. Yes, Satan sought to his life. And the time came when he did die. But he gave his own life up. He had power to lay down his life, give himself into the hand of those sinners, give himself into the hand, as it were, the agents of Satan, give himself to suffer, to bleed, and to die. And dear friends, through that cross at Calvary, through his sufferings, his death, he cried out, "It is finished, it is finished." And dear friends, that "finished" in the Greek means that nothing can ever overturn it. It is complete. It is a perfect work. All sin under the law that has been committed by all those for whom Christ died has been paid for. The punishment has been exacted upon the one who was guiltless of it all. And therefore there was perfect punishment for all sin. Without the shedding of his holy blood, there was no remission of sins. Oh, dear friends, what this should mean to us in our hearts, who are guilty of so many, many, many sins, that God hath made the way. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friends, we can only preach Christ and him crucified for the salvation of our souls, to be saved from God's wrath to come in that last day. But not only the sin-atoning blood of Christ that atones for all of our sin. Dear friends, Christ had power to take it again, take his life again. Oh, Satan was completely destroyed. Death was destroyed. The consequence of sin destroyed. The grave to where we shall all lie one day if Christ does not come first. With our bodies to decay, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. To give eternal life from the dead. Life to our souls, the Spirit returning to God who gave it. There to be found complete in Christ, who said, "It is finished." Love's redeeming work is done. I have fought the fight. The battle is won. Then comfort, says the Lord through his prophet, "Comfort ye my people. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. You've received of the Lord's hand double for all of your sins." Oh, that grace, mercy. Dear friends, there's our safety. There's our refuge. Faith in Jesus Christ. Abide thou in me. Fear not. Oh, we shall have many fears because of the sinful nature that, whilst we still live upon this earth, will affect our hearts and our minds. And we shall grieve the Lord, grieve the Spirit of God. We shall turn to our own ways again and again, those ways which seem right to us. And God will not be in all of our thoughts. But dear friends, we're the Lord. has spoken his word, where the Lord has spoken by his Spirit to convince us of our sins, and called us by grace with the power of that voice, taken away the hardness of our hearts of unbelief, and given us that heart of flesh to look and plead with him for pardon, to say, who can need it more than we? There's an abiding in him. He says, fear not. I know your frame. I remember you are but dust. I know in your flesh you will ever be a sinner, and you cannot deliver yourself from it. And I know that sin grieves you, because whenever you sin and fail, you cast it upon me. You come again and again to the throne of grace, pleading my name, my sin atoning blood, myself as your glorious high priest, who have given myself a sacrifice for your sin, and to come by faith again and again. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I will be merciful, because I sit on that throne of grace, where there is power for me to save and to blot out all your transgressions through my blood. There you can ever obtain mercy and grace to help you in the time of your need. When you're tempted, when you're tried, when you need strength, when you're weak, or when you're so strongly tempted by your heart to go in the ways of sin. Your strength is in me. Your prayers are to be to me. Fear not, I will help thee. I will hold thee by thy right hand. I will say unto ye, fear ye not. Now, dear friends, it's Christ the same, isn't it? Yesterday, ever the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. Oh, we have that mysterious account, don't we, in the revelation of Satan being cast into the earth. Oh, he cannot destroy the seed of the woman of whom it speaks of there. But he seeks to seek all those and kill all those that are followers and believers in him. Oh, Satan is a mighty foe. A mighty foe going about like a roaring lion, walking about like a roaring lion, throughout the world seeking whom he may devour. And dear friends, his desire is to devour all those for whom Christ died, that the promise that none of them shall be lost, the promise shall fail. And dear friends, if that promise fails, all the truth as it is in Jesus fails. But thanks be unto God, we have an almighty Saviour, one who will never forsake his people, one who will never fall out of his gracious hands. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Abide with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. What a promise. In safeguard. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can separate you from my redeeming love. I've bought you with a price. Thou art mine. And in this world, yes, ye shall have tribulations. There'll be many things that will be the trials of your faith. Real cause to rise within you doubts and fears that cast dishonour upon me and contradict my gracious word. You'll experience these things. But your safety is in me, in what I have done. My blood cleanseth from all sin. Oh, dear friends, how this should humble us, where we're amongst those to know that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, that voice of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary. Dear friends, we must hear it, mustn't we? And all his people shall hear it. For the truth as it is in Jesus is not by our own mental understanding and learning, just by reading the books, there's even the scriptures. It's not something which is just maintained in our heads. And we know all the doctrines, we can repeat the scriptures verbatim. And as you've heard me say before, be doctrines of divinity, a great head knowledge of the scriptures. Is the power of that voice within our hearts. God, who commands the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to reveal the knowledge of the glory of God, that's Christ. Yes, in the face of Jesus Christ, to behold him by faith, that precious grace of the Holy Spirit, to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. What a word to you, poor sinner. Abide thou with me. Fear not. A saved sinner by his grace. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. Oh, but he will never have you. Satan goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Dear friends, he can't devour you. Oh, the power of the shed blood of Christ that has destroyed Satan, that there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Jesus stands between. He's a defeated foe. With me thou shalt be in safeguard, trusting in me at all times, in all circumstances which come in your life. Casting all your cares upon him. He careth for you. Then, dear friends, how wonderful it is if we can come, assemble ourselves together under the knowledge of this truth, and be united by the Spirit to the glory of his name. Abide thou with me and fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now, dear friends, I want to speak, yes, of Christ, as I have done, who is the head of the church. Let us consider his church, his people, those whom he hath called and saved by grace. We find this, I believe, in this chapter which we've read. The context is, in the earthly terms, David escaped from the Philistines, from the king of Gath, where he thought they would slay him when they knew who he was. He departed, escaped to the cave of Adullam. And many heard of David, his father, his mother, his friends, or his house, his kindred. And then we have this description. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them. Friends, is this not, in a spiritual sense, a description of the Church of Christ? Christ, the head of the Church, yes. And draws all those in need of him unto them, unto himself. All these who came to David, they were discontent with their life in Israel. Things weren't right, they didn't satisfy, they were in troubles. Why, many of them were in debt. Oh, dear friends, is that not the so when we're convinced of our sins? We're in debt. were in debt to pay. Oh, that we might be saved from the consequence of that. And we cannot pay the price, can we? We shall ever be in debt. We're bankrupt, as the scripture said, bankrupt sinners. Have nothing to pay, nothing of ourselves. Oh, those that were in debt here, physically, they fled out of Israel of the effects and the controllings of Israel. They fled unto David, that he should be a captain over them. And so, dear friends, those who are spiritually taught of their sin, or this world, oh, they do not want it to be the ruler over them. It cannot supply their need, cannot deliver them from the consequence of their sin. They fly to Jesus. Dear friends, this is the church, isn't it? These are the members of Christ's church. Remember, it says, and everyone that was in distress. All their circumstances in this life are such that they can't deliver themselves from it, or anybody else can help them. Dear friends, we have a friend in Australia. Well, no, not in Australia. Yes, in Australia. She was in England. She used to live in this area. She was affected after the birth of a child, her first child, with mental affliction. And she was in the mental hospital home in Fairfield, just outside Stotfold. She wasn't a believer. She'd moved down with her husband from Lancashire, and he worked in Stevenage. And she was in great distress through her mental affliction. And a father-in-law who had moved to Australia said, come over to us in Australia. It is probably better for you to have a new change of life, of scene of life. And so her husband found a transfer with his company to Australia, and they began to live there. But she was still the same, in much distress in her mind and in her daily life. And one day she just felt compelled to fall down by her bedside and pray. She'd never prayed before. No one had told her how to pray. She'd never read the scriptures. And the Lord had great mercy upon her. Oh, he drew her to him in her distress. And that was the beginning of the change of her heart and her life. It also had an effect upon her husband. Oh, now they're regular listeners to the services in Australia. Dear friends, how mysterious the Lord will work, calling his own unto him out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light. A part of the church of Christ upon this earth. Every one that was in distress, every one that was in debt, every one that was discontented. Oh, dear friends, are you discontented with the things of this world? There's many things to attract us, isn't there? There's many things to give us all what we feel we want and have need of. But you know, dear friends, if you're one of the Lord, you'll come to know a time when the things of this earth are insufficient. There's an aching void within that the world could never fill. There's a desire for something far greater than just earthly benefits. Now that's the working of the Holy Spirit. That's the beginning of the loving kindness of the Lord towards you, to draw you, so that in time you can say, loved with an everlasting love, with loving kindness he drew me. Dear friends, these are the ones who are formed the church of Christ here upon this earth. And as David was a captain over all these of the order of 400 men, it says here, they were a small remnant, weren't they? They weren't part of the physical earthly Israel. They were outcasts, might say vagabonds. But as they trusted in David, who became their strength, became their wisdom, he became the provider for them. He was their defender. Yes, he was their safeguard. They looked to him, they trusted in him. Oh, it was far better to be separate from all the rest of Israel and to be one as a group of these 400 people with David than to dwell as they were before. And friends, there you've got the witness of the Church of Christ, don't you? Those who've been called unto Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, the head of the church. And dear friends, the church is all compacted together under Christ, the head. And all his wisdom, his grace, his mercy, his control, his provision, his love, his mercy, your safeguard is found in him. And you trust in him alone. Oh yes, these people of David, who surround themselves with David, they still had to live in this world and in Israel, but they were not part of Israel, were they, in that sense? They were discontent. And dear friends, so the Church of Christ, those who have been called, oh, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls, for the provision which the world could never give them. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. Oh, they have too many things to deal with, yes, daily provisions and everything. But my God shall supply all your need, as he does his church, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A united people. United not just by friendships in a social and outward sense, but dear friends, united through their need of a precious one to be the head of them, with these, with David, with us in the church, it's Christ. To him who says, abide there with me, all of you, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. We have also a specific case mentioned here in this chapter, don't we? That is of this man, Abiathar, who was a priest, or the son of the high priest. Or through Saul and his desire to slay anybody who was associated with David. Oh, Saul is a type of Satan, isn't he? A type of a devil. And he has his agents such as Doeg. And as soon as Saul heard that the priests had seemed to be favourable with David, his desire was to slay them. And many were permitted to be killed by Saul or through Doeg. But one escaped. That wasn't by chance. We're not told how he escaped. But Abiathar escaped death at Saul's hand and fled to David. You know, dear friends, the power of Satan is such today that many can be sought to be slain by him. Even the taking of their lives. Oh, how many do. Or as it were to, perhaps they're in distress of this world. And Satan tempts them, oh, the way to escape is to take your life and escape from it. But dear friends, if they're the Lord's, they may be tempted like that. But the Lord won't let it come to pass. They will escape. Maybe mysteriously, they hardly know how, but they do. And they become like Abiathar, who escaped and fled unto David. Those who were tempted by Satan escaped that temptation. Oh, to end all things because of their distress and flee unto Christ. There's the power of the Spirit. How did Abiathar know where David was? He had to find out, didn't he? How do we know where Christ is? If it's led by the Spirit and prayer, we cry unto him. And he hears the prayer. He hears the prayers of those that escape Satan's power through the blessed salvation and work of Christ. They become part of the church. They became part, Abiathar became part of David's men, part of this remnant, separate from earthly Israel. Oh, dear friends, the church of Christ, this separate body, outside, shall I say, the curse of the earth. A separate body, dependent upon the mercy and love of God through Christ. And there they abide in union. Not through just a casual friendship, but through their desire to serve and trust in their head by faith. Friend, that's what the churches are today, isn't it? There's one overall universal church of Christ, yes. But how many little individual ones are there? Which reminds us of the time when of the captivity of Judah and Israel. They were dispersed. But God said through, was it Jeremiah? Or was it Ezekiel? I will be a little sanctuary unto them. I will be mindful of them. Yes, they're in this world, they're scattered about. But I know where my people are. The foundation of God standeth sure. He knoweth them that are his. And he will not forsake them. And I will be with them wherever they are found. Oh, dear friends, may that be for us here at Hope Chapel Stotford. A little sanctuary. A little church, a little people, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in whom we all hope and trust. He having begun that good work of his grace within us, not by our own intellect and knowledge of our heads, but by the sound of his voice. Those who have heard, as David prayed, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. He needed more than the law. He sought to keep the law. Yes, as I trust we seek to obey the things of the Scripture, that it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. But he needed the sound of the voice of the Lord to confirm, to call by grace unto the knowledge that if his sins were forgiven, the little churches. Oh, dear friends, may we be one. My mind goes to the children of Israel coming up out of Egypt. Moses was leading those people there, wasn't he? He was a captain over Israel. And one came to Moses. And that was Jethro, his father-in-law. What did Moses say to Jethro? He says, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Oh, whatever the word is there, what it is there, and a drawing unto belief and trust in the one who overrules all things, in God himself and in the Church of Christ, as we can see the application there. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. What place, dear friends, is the Church of Christ journeying to? Is it not the the place of eternal life in heaven above, where Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Those who have witnessed of that love and mercy. Oh, we're journeying, aren't we? The Church of Christ is journeying through all the wilderness and difficulties and whatever arises in our days. And there's many things arising in our days to affect us, isn't there, in the Church of Christ. We are journeying. But we're journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. And he is faithful that hath promised. Abide with me. Fear not, for they that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. He was leading them forth to the promised land. Oh, they weren't a perfect people, were they? Not by any means. But, dear friends, their perfection was in through faith in Christ. Their hope was in the answer to the prayer of Moses. If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. What did Hobab say, or the father-in-law of Moses? He said, I will not go. I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. I will not go. And Moses said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. Moses could see there was qualities in this man. Oh, that if he would only by faith, a trust in the Lord as they did to be led in this journey. Why, the Lord could use him, even for their good. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. What goodness the Lord will do for us, we will do unto thee. Unite with us. And we will do thee good. Oh, dear friends, that's how the gospel church of Christ is to be in this day, isn't it? And we pray for it to be here. Seek each other's good, as the Lord is good to us. We have much to thank him for, don't we? There are many mercies daily. Oh, as the sand which daily we receive. And dear friends, we can. Oh, looking back over the answers to prayers and how he's brought us even to this day, that the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. That's a definition again, isn't it, of the church. And this word here, not only personally to Christ, but unitedly as a group of people unto Christ, the Church of Christ, those whom he hath called. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Dear friends, that's where our safety is, isn't it, as a church and people. It's in what Christ hath done for our soul. As we began with that work of Christ. Dear friends, the church's desire is to know nothing amongst them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Lord doth give help to his church, as we read in the New Testament. Oh, he gives prophets, he gives apostles, he gives ministers, he gives pastors, he gives helps. Dear friends, that's the church is built up, isn't it? They're not all the same in their office, and all the same in their abilities. They're not all the same in the graces which he bestows. But, dear friends, they're all that help one to another, to the honour and glory of the name of Christ and of God. And united together, single-eyedness unto the glory of God. And there, dear friends, the Lord is glorified here upon the earth. Oh, personally and collectively as a church. Oh, where we see Christ in this text. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Nothing wrong shall pluck thee out of my hands. No man can pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Oh, the Lord maintain us, dear friends, as one here. A little sanctuary where we know the feeding of our souls and the blessing of the truth as it is in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.